And so Todd is going to have a worship service Good Friday. And I was back there realizing on Karen's last song, well, I don't remember if he told me in the note or not. So I went through all the little stuff and I can't find a time. I'm just saying it's 7. You know, I don't know. I went to his website. I went to Lenola's website. I don't know. But he's going to do worship Friday evening, or next door. So, and if somebody else has got some announcement, Miss Kenny Ray is telling us that they're on the 13-day countdown now. My goodness. Wow. 13 days to move around the world about a fourth of the way or somewhere. Well, how many times, the time zone from here to there, 6 hours, 5 hours? 5 hours. Okay. I won't remember that, but 5 hours is good, you know. Our friend, the orphanage in Lahore, Pakistan, that we support, they're exactly 12 hours, so I'm always going, when she's riding me, like at 5 o'clock in the morning, I go, oh, it's because it's 5 p.m. in Lahore, you know. So, I haven't heard anything in the last few weeks, so maybe life is calm in Pakistan right this minute. We've had some uncalm times. There's a lot of spiritual activity, I think, going on in the world, and which means that there's probably a lot of godly activity going on, usually when there's warfare in different places. So turn with me to, let's see, I wrote notes here. Not Isaiah, Acts chapter 20, right? I'm on the wrong page. Okay. Acts 19, really? 17, that's what you sent me. Wait a minute. Let me see. 19. Yeah, no, I'm looking. Let's see. I'm trying to look. Okay, so I'm wrong. It's 20. I'm giving you the wrong. well, yeah. Can I use the old card? You know, even if I was 30 years younger, I was like this. I'm just more like this, you know. So. You can validate that. That is true, right? Yep. So, thank you, Miss Jennifer. Lloyd and I were standing out in the hall, and we were talking about something that would require memory. And I said, now, when I walk away from you in 20 minutes, this will totally be out of my mind. And he said, well, I'm younger than you. I'll be able to hold it for 25 minutes. So, that's pretty much how it is. Okay, so... Karen will forgive me if I... Okay, so let me get into the time zone. Let's see. This is the day that Jesus comes to Jerusalem. And as he's coming into Jerusalem, people are really excited because they think he's coming to take over. And so they start cutting off palm fronds and throwing them on and taking their coats and stuff and putting stuff out on the... where he's coming in, you know, and he chooses to sit on a donkey. And of course, this is biblical prophetic things taking place too. And the crowds get really excited and start saying something, what is it, like Hosanna in the highest? And yeah, like in that song part. And so then you always got religious people around. I don't know if you've noticed this, but even if y'all go a fourth away around the world, there'll be spiritual people and religious people. There's a guarantee. It's just the way they're not always the same, you know. And God bless the religious, because we hopefully we pray that they become spiritual. in their activity. But one of the things that they tend to do, any of us, let me just throw myself in that because I'm sure I've done it too, is that we just rain on other people's parades. So here is Jesus coming to town. People's got a lot of reasons. You know, they think, okay, he's going to take over. He's going to do away with the Romans. He's going to declare that he's Messiah. We're just sure this is the day, man. We're going to put all this stuff in the road, and he's riding on the donkey. And the religious ones standing nearby say things like, tell him to quit yelling this stuff. And Jesus says, well, if I tell him to quit, the rocks will even cry out. That's a pretty heady thing to say. Yeah. And so here comes Jesus into Jerusalem. And so this is the kind of the begin, the this has been going on ever since John was down at the river and says, behold the Lamb, when Jesus shows up to get baptized, remember? And that symbol that he is being like the Lamb in the Old Testament, he is that Lamb. I mean, this is this same imagery. And so now a clock starts, a 7-day clock. And so counting down to Easter. So Palm Sunday is when we do this. And in a lot of the high church, I think we maybe tried this one year, but I think we had trouble trying to get a palm, Jennifer, or a palm leaf. It seems like we tried to build our own fire with stuff. I don't know, we probably came to you and said, do you have any, like, a palm thing that we could do? Because in some churches, they have some today, live ones, that they'll cut off, and then they'll let them dry, and then they will make this where they can, they'll burn it, and they'll make ash, and they'll keep the ash until the next year. And then when it's the 40-day countdown, the day after the party in New Orleans, after they party all night, then they'll take the ash from the burned palm fronds, and they'll make the sign of the cross. Yeah. And they'll wear it, right? Okay, just trying to put us into the time zone. Okay, so I looked at Isaiah, and I had some really great things in Isaiah 48, but it just seemed like that was not where I was supposed to go. So I picked back up on 20, and I won't tell the story, but you know, well, I'll tell the story, just surface lies. You know, that Paul is doing he's planning on going to Jerusalem. He wants to be there on a certain date. And so he's met with the church at Ephesus? Is that where they were? In the upper room, you know, and he thought he was just going to speak a little while, but they filled it with candles and everybody, he was speaking and it was getting really late. And one guy fell deep asleep sitting in a window sealed, not a good place to sit if you're going to fall asleep. I think it was like a 3-story fall, and the guy falls out the window, and they go, he's dead. And you know the story. Paul gets over on him and prays and stuff, and says, no, he's alive. And so, and he happens to be. And Paul goes back to work. He goes back to talking until sunrise. And they all said, and the young man, they took him home and he was okay. Just your typical little something going on in Acts. Just a good story. So as we get down then in this, I'm going to pick up on Acts about 17. So Paul is getting ready. He's getting ready to head out by ship, I guess. And so he tells them, hey, to the elders he wants elders from Ephesus to come meet them where he's going to be. And so he gets everybody to come over, and he gives them this final instruction. So anytime you get final instructions, it's something you pay a lot of attention to. So maybe for us, maybe there's some stuff we can find in this these verses he's saying here. Okay, so Lord, we ask you that you speak to each of us, whatever you want to speak to today. Here we're gathered, worshiping together, and your presence. Holy Spirit, we ask you to manifest yourself in such a way that you communicate with each of us, because you know where every one of us are right now today. In Jesus' name, we ask you for this. Speak to us, Lord. Amen. Okay, so verse 18. So when they've come to him, I'm using a New American Standard translation. He says to them, "You yourselves know." So you got this picture of crowd, you know, around of people, leaders, and different people. "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time." Verse 19, "And serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews." So in that verse, humility stands out to me. Now, the other stuff were hardship stuff. Well, tears, I think he's not talking about himself feeling beat up. He's concerned about them, about the people. He knows where everybody is that he's met. Some of them are doing well spiritually, and some of them are just not doing well. And it shows how tender he is, how he's not just a leader. He's been called to do this. Ever since being knocked off the horse and, you know, and blinding light and all that, Paul has been, as Luke has been telling us, following this team and being part of this, is that Paul is just is tender toward Jesus. He's thankful. He's tender. We know he's had instructions and stuff and encounters with him, but he's just, I see him as not just what he did, what his skill sets were, but just his heart. You see how he's treating people. And the trials, because the Jews were, you know, if you start saying stuff and it doesn't match, then they just had this great desire to, like, let's see if we can kill them. Let's see if we can get them in a bad place and stone them, kill them. Let's do away with them. We'll just stop them from whoever they are. Verse 20, "And how I didn't shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable." So he's telling them everything he's learned, passing it on to the next ones. "And teaching you publicly," I did it out in the open with others, the Jews around and Greeks around, and believers and non-believers, and from house to house in small groups. He did it, you know, where it was more intimate, where you could, I'm sure, ask questions and be prayed for and back and forth, and he's being a good leader at this. He said, verse 21, "I solemnly was testifying," so I was, you know, it's a serious saying this, "to both Jews and Greeks, of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." So what do you and I get out of that? That no matter where we go around in life, that there is this attitude in our hearts of repentance. And it's not something that we, it's not like a should thing. Oh, I should have repentance because it says so. It comes from something. It comes from, what I'm thinking about is the songs, the lyrics, Karen, that you put up of the different songs. You know, some of those have been around a really long time. And you sang some historical Christian songs And the people who wrote those lyrics didn't just sit around one day going, I think I'll want to write a really great tune that'll be put in hymnals. They wrote from their encounter with God, or a life of living with God, being with Him. And I would like to walk in that place. I get in it every so often, but I don't think I live there. But isn't that how it happens with y'all? Is like in moments, seeing y'all are, you know, leaving in a few days, and hearing some of y'all's stories, that encounters that have happened to you. This kind of comes on y'all. Y'all have said this in your testimonies of telling your stories, is that your heart was just amazed, like in Hawaii, where things that God was doing that y'all didn't see coming. And that awareness that God had planned this, that you were in exactly the right place, exactly in the right church, exactly with the right people. And it just makes your heart go this way, doesn't it? I mean, it's just an attitude. The little while that I've known y'all, a few years, here comes someone. And I just want to say that I kept looking for an email from those boss people. And like, I don't know what happened. Like, your brothers came and I sent a note. And I should have written them and say, hey, y'all are supposed to send me a note. She's expecting it. And they didn't send it, so I don't know why. So we can talk about that. I know you wanted to. Right here in the middle, that we just picked that up. But it's like, you know, my memory, lately, there's been a lot going on. And so what I was talking about was your family, was knowing y'all for a few years. And how all of y'all know God. And you have a real relationship with God. You can tell it just talking to y'all. And then all this started with the YWAM stuff and this Hawaii stuff and y'all going to places where they got really big snakes and all kinds of, you know, critters out in the jungle, and that y'all were just out there in the jungle. And so I've seen a change in all of y'all. I mean, don't let this go to your head, but y'all are more spiritual than you were before. You were spiritual then, but you're even more spiritual now in your walk with God. I'm sure you prayed more because you were going on these adventures with God, and like you had moments when you went, man, I hope I did the right thing. Well, I'm in Brazil or someplace now. I guess I'll have to wait until I go home, you know, or I'm in Hawaii or I'm somewhere. And so there's a good witness to the rest of us of watching y'all live out what you think the Lord wants you to do next, and your faith in doing that. And it really goes along with what Paul's saying here. You know, that repentance and that faith, that you got a heart toward God, it's tender. And you got faith in Jesus, that it's not just an accident. These ideas that y'all have had to go places and move and go into the ministry field is not just an idea you got up with one morning. That the further you go into it, the more obvious it is God. And there's witness to it. So we all feel humble that we know you. That our lives cross. I mean, really, you know. Verse 22, and now, behold, bound by the Holy Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that Bonds and afflictions await me. Goodness gracious. Like, wow, Holy Spirit was really talking to Paul. And he was telling him some really hard things. And Paul's not going, oh, pick somebody else, or I'm just going to back out of this. It just kind of strengthens him, knowing there's some hard stuff coming down the road. So there is that part, like you and I, is that the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. So we don't know what he's going to say. I like for him always to be an up thing, personally. I'm just childish. Don't you like it when someone, the Holy Spirit speaks through them to you about something, and it's kind of nice, you know? I'd hate to, get these, you're going to have bonds and afflictions waiting down the road. Oh, joy. Wasn't that just a great word I got today at church? Verse 24. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the good news of the gospel of the grace of God. There's the whole essence of his whole ministry right there in that verse. The whole thing, he wants to finish what Jesus started that day. No matter what he ran into, no matter people stoning him, no matter what happened, them being beaten, different things, he wants to finish this. He wants to see it through completely. And that's really all of our desires, is we want to complete the adventures of each of our lives with God and not run away. Verse 25, and now behold, I know that all of you, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, so the kingdom of God, one of his messages was about that, learning about there's a king and a kingdom, will no longer see my face. I won't be back. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I didn't shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. He didn't hold back. He let them know the joys and the things that we need to be sober about and things to do and not to do. Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for the flock. He's talking to them as elders, as leaders of the church, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That this is a worthwhile thing, that you have been made leaders, overseers of these people, and that's important because Jesus paid for it with his life. It's not just a game. It's not God bless the Boy Scouts, but it's not the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, no matter how good their cookies are that they're selling outside of Lowe's. I love those Thin Mint cookies that the Girl Scouts sell. But it's not the same thing, is it? It's not the same level. Verse 29, I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from those among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. He's saying that this is not going to just, you're not, you're not going to just hear the gospel message and it's going to go well. There are other people with other intentions. We have all been doing this enough years. I was talking to Todd yesterday, and we were counting up, and it kind of hit him. He says, "You've been doing this for 40 years. I go, "Well, when you make it sound like that, it sounds like a really long time. I haven't really thought about it." You know, and he talked about when he first came and different times. And even he's been doing it a while now, a good while. Bunches of it, you know, being at y'all's house all the different times, all the different things that happened there. And then moving around to other people's houses, all the small groups. And I'm losing why I was illustrating that right there. Oh, that and you all have the same story. Don't you know people that started out well, that maybe went for a few years, maybe went 10 years, maybe, you know, decade of time. They walked with God, and then one day it's like the light, they just decided that they were tired of this. They just got decided that they wouldn't follow God anymore. I told you about one of my art students at Glencoe that was a really good art student. She was smart, is smart. I don't know how she is now. She was beautiful. She could have won some sort of contest. And I heard this last year from another student that knows her. Says, "I want to tell you something, but you almost won't believe me. I said, "What?" "She has become a high priestess in Satanism." I said, "What? Her?" "Yes. She got into it, got deeper into it. Is it an authority?" But others, as far as that went that way, others were the ultimate party animals. Don't name names, Karen. Let's just say that Karen and I have known the ultimate party animals from high school days. Huh? I was really worried about some of them. You know? One of them wrapped their car around a cement mailbox, brick mailbox. We thought we had lost them. I mean, we really thought this was only going to be a few more hours and they weren't going to be with us. And the kids from the high school, they decided they were going to lift them by the young man with a helicopter from the hospital landing pad over here to Birmingham. So the kids all learned of it. I don't know if you knew him. And they all got and made, they let him make a line on either side as they brought him out on the gurney thing from the hospital to the helicopter. And the adults were telling him, "Well, now, you know, he might go to be with God tonight." I mean, they were trying to, but they were all wanting to touch him as he went by, and they let him. Got on the helicopter, went to Birmingham. Birmingham, being like a good hospital, they said, "We want to go over all the paperwork that you sent about what, you know, what condition he's in." They went over it. They said, "Did you bring the right papers on him?" "Yes, these are the ones directly from there." "He doesn't have but like a third of these conditions, these problems. This stuff says that, according to this, he wouldn't have lived through the night. The next morning, and the next day in the afternoon when I had the high school students, they were out of their minds with thanksgiving toward God. And a month later, he was back in my art room, just as much as a problem maker as he was before he wrapped the car around the cement mailbox. He was fully restored. Oh, man. Anytime I'm over on that end of town or more kind of heading toward Anniston, there's some car dealerships that are, I don't know if that his dad was in that line of work, but it's got their name on it, so I don't know if it's their name, and I see that name, and I always think back to that night and that day, and wow, God. There's some out there right now that have not turned back toward God. They've left walking with him. They left the only door in the passage, like it's a passageway full of doors, you know, and you can go into this, you can go to this, and go to that, but there's only one door that's the right door. There's only one saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Yeah, there's only one real door there. No matter how interesting the other ones are. People are free agents. They can follow God or not follow God. And so as long as I got breath, I'm hoping some of the stories that come to me every so often is that it'll change. There's time. We have to kind of be on alert for each other about strange extra things. There's a lot of extra suitcases that people think will go to heaven, and like the Lord's going to go, now that's just extra stuff. You know, that's you wasted a lot of time with that. Verse 32, and now I command you to God, commend, there's my blurry eyes. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are set apart or sanctified. Wherever y'all go in the world, I'm not just preaching y'all, but y'all are a good example because y'all are going out, you know. Wherever y'all go, wherever any of you go here, whoever listening to this, he's able to build you up. Even if you don't feel like it. Even if you feel like you're not being built up that much. And he's able to give you the inheritance, the future, among all those who are set apart with him. The Christianity that you've embraced is the real thing. This relationship with the Creator of all things, our Father, is real. Our relationship with Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God, all the names, Son of David, you know, they call upon that heritage. Son of David, have mercy on me. He's real. Third person, the Holy Spirit, who is with you all the time, who comes into your, that gives you thoughts, dreams, directions, anointings for the moment, anointings for the lifetime. He's like the wind. He likes to stay kind of just right about there where you don't see, you know. He loves to call attention to Jesus continuously. He calls attention to your Father. He never calls attention to himself, and yet he's just as real as a third person of the Godhead. One God, three persons. He comes in power. Sometimes it's just like a breeze, and other times he's like an earthquake. Todd was talking to me about that yesterday, of the things that we, during the peak years of 94, 95, 96, 97, right in there in Toronto, and being on the ministry team in October, that I got to do like 3 or 4 years, and with 2,000 or 3,000 people in the room. And some of them, they would just kind of sink back and have like their skin would be like shiny, kind of happy. You could just tell they were at peace with God. And then you'd move down and pray for another person, and God would hit them like he had plugged them into a 220 outlet. I mean, they were, you couldn't shake that much. And my only part with it, me and a helper, was that we were just going, come Holy Spirit, anoint them. What you have for their life. And they would end up knocking chairs out, being all, I mean, not that that was important, it's just that it was everything from a gentle something to a, boy, just, wow, that was weird. Verse 33, I've not coveted, I've not wanted no one's silver or gold or clothes. I didn't want anybody's stuff. I had no need for people's stuff. And in saying that, he's passing it along to elders, and you don't need anybody's stuff. And if you see people wanting stuff, tell them this isn't going to last. Verse 34, you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs. You know, he'd make tents and stuff. And to the men who were with me. Verse 35, and in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. I hate that. Especially when he calls on me and I had plans. And then somebody calls up and there's something needs to be done. And I'm like, but I want to work on the outside of the building today. Or whatever. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Giving of your time, energy, and money. Sometimes. All of them, or one of them, or whatever. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Can't you see them kind of all at the beach somewhere? And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship. I don't know how many more times I'll get to see y'all. But we're all spiritual family. And I know in eternity we're all going to hang out. Cross over. And that's all not just down the road, just a little ways down the road. No matter how many years we live. All of us. So y'all just sit there for a minute. And with your permission, I'm going to pray for you. Is that okay? Huh? Please. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we come before you in the authority of the Lord Jesus. as his little brothers and sisters and his family and ministry of your calling on us by your Holy Spirit, we ask you to anoint each of them in their thing that they'll do next in the world, wherever they're going. Bless them in their appointments with people. Bless them in their training. Bless them when they're flying. Bless them when they're on boats. Bless them when they're in the jungle. Bless them. Bless them from deserts to mountains to cold places and hot places. I don't know where all you'll end up going with them, but you will go with them. Like you say in Scripture, Lord, they're rising up and they're lying down. They're coming in and they're going out. May your anointing be with each member of their family and the call that's on their lives. In Jesus' name. And now one more. Now I'm going to spread everyone in the room. Lord, I ask that your anointing by your Holy Spirit, that you increase it this Palm Sunday, this season of Easter, that this week, Lord, as in the church we declare as a holy week, Lord, that you bless everyone here and you increase the thing that you're calling them to do with an extra amount of your blessing and anointing. For your name. Because all those years ago, and I came across I'm thinking about the painting I did at school my last year, that one, which is the motto of the Moravians. That was their motto, to win for the Lamb the rewards of his suffering. Yes, Lord. May that burn within each of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, you are an awesome, creative Father. Isaiah says there's no one like you. There is no God like you. He was comparing to the different people groups around them. But he just no one like you. There's no one like you who tells the end from the beginning, who prophesies ahead of time so that when it happens, people will know that it was you. Lord, thank you for this Lord's Day as your children. In Jesus' name, amen.